Thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Sunday's message.
Kingdom of Heaven. You know, God's kingdom, the kingdom that came to the earth when Jesus was born on that first Christmas morning. I'll tell you what, it rattled the devil's cage. It turned this world right side up within just a few years after he went back home to heaven, and it is still here today. And the question is what are we going to do with it? Talked last week about how, you know, one of the things, the first, number one, hello, Captain Obvious thing about the kingdom of heaven is that there's a king. But it's a kingdom that's built on love. It's a kingdom that's to rattle every part of this world that we live in today. And it does it with a 1-2 punch of love and joy. Love and joy. I mean, look around you. Have you seen much love and joy going on in the world today? No, you get the exact opposite. Why? Because church went quiet. And the devil wants to get everybody into some kind of despair so that they'll just follow down the path that he has for them. But you know, when somebody's full of joy, depression can't get a hold of them. I mean, just slides right off. And if you got that love on the inside, it doesn't matter how bad other people are towards you, you just keep loving on them. Now, I've learned over the years of being a Christian that when I've had people that just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I've hired into new jobs and different things, you know, and it seems like everywhere I go, there's just one person in there just hates my guts, don't even know how to spell my name. I mean, from day one. And so the Bible tells me I got to love my enemies, you know, and I didn't want them to be my enemy, but if they see me as their enemy, then you know what, I just got to love them. And the cool thing is it does two things. One, drives them crazy, because they just get uglier, and you get more loving, and then they get uglier, and then you get more loving. Before you know it, they give up, because that love is unstoppable. There is nothing that can defeat the love of God that's in a child of God that's not afraid to take hold of it and run with it, you know? This kingdom that we are in is a kingdom of conquerors. It's a kingdom that's supposed to take over the world because we're going to be walking in it. Doesn't matter what God's got. If it gets on the inside of us and then we start acting like it's so, oh, it's a game changer. You got your Bible with you? Now, I know you probably can quote this scripture, but I want you to go to John chapter 3. You'll never know where I'm going with the verse, right? 16. John 3:16, you know, like they got on the stadium in the football world and all of that, you know? Tim Tebow had it painted underneath his eyeballs. I like that, when he had that blackout around his eyes, that John 3:16. And it just tore everybody up. Isn't that something? Now, I don't mind if you take a knee now, but they sure had a problem with him taking a knee for the Lord Jesus Christ now, didn't they? That tells you how powerful it is. It tells you that we can turn this world right side up if we'll just get busy. And I'm telling you what, there is no better time in the whole calendar year than right now, because it's Christmas time. And it's easy to get it. First of all, it's easy to get that joy to bubble up on the inside of you. It's easy to get that love to start moving on the inside of you, because it's right just under the surface. I know the world messes with you, and after a while, you kind of just sort of get a little deflated, you know. Remember my wife and I last February, we went up to Muskegon, of all places, for our anniversary. Well, hey, we won't do that again. But anyway, it was like 10 below. By the time we got up there, we're driving in my pickup truck, and I got a little idiot light comes on and says, your tire pressure's getting low, bub. It's been very handy. So I get out, and I check my tires. I got like 10 pounds of pressure in it. Well, it was so friggin' cold, all the air had shrunk down, like air expands when it's hot. And anyway, so it took forever to fill it up in one of those little deals where you put the quarter in the pump, you know, in the air compressor thing in those gas stations, you know. And I had to do all four. It cost me $1 to fill my tires up, you know, because it took so much air. But, you know, it doesn't matter. If you got God on the inside of you, in the middle of everything, you got everything because you got Jesus. Amen. So as a body of Christ, look here in John 3:16, because we got to walk in the footsteps of this love that God's given us, this foundational love that changes our life, first of all, and then it changes everybody around us. So in John 3:16, look at this. For God so what? Loved. Now, it's not just any old kind of love. It's not like, well, you know, you'd think with God, a little eyedropper, a little drop of love from God would just blow everybody away. But no. God had this kind of love that just poured out to overflowing until nobody could handle it anymore. For God so loved the world. The world that hated his guts. The world that crucified him. The world that uses his name as a cuss word. The world full of broken, messed up, ornery, broken people. That's the kind of love that God has. God so loved every ding-dong person. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've gone through, how ugly you are, how full of fear and everything else you may be, how mean you are to other people. God loved you, the whole stinking world. And not only did he just love them, but he did something about it. He gave his son. And he put him in a very, very vulnerable position, coming down as a newborn babe with none of the power that he had while he was in heaven. Left all of that back behind. Came as a bare-naked baby in a Bethlehem manger on that first Christmas morning. And the king wanted to kill him. Soon as he heard out about him, he said, "Oh, I'm not going to have anybody take my power away." So they sent all these soldiers in. Any kid that was 2 years old and younger had them all killed. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now here's the beautiful part. He does 99.99% of all the work, and all you got to do is believe. Now, I think that's a pretty fair deal. In fact, the only people that doesn't serve God are people who don't know God. But he loves us with an everlasting love, an unlimited love, a reckless love, a love that won't ever shut off. How much you need, he's got it. Sometimes you just take an old crusty piece of bread, you know what, and you got to soak it a little bit before you can eat it. I'm kind of the Will Rogers of cookiedom. Always have been. In other words, I never met a cookie I didn't like. So we had this cookie baking thing, and there was this gal, and it was during Christmas time, and this one gal in our church, this old gal, she said, "I'm one of the best cookie bakers you'll ever see." "Well, great, bring them. Bring all kinds of them. There's no such thing as too many cookies." Can I get an amen? Amen. That's like telling a woman that's just too much chocolate. You never do that, unless you're closer to the door than she is. That's part of spoiling my wife. She just needs that vitamin C all the time, so I'll make sure she's got some. But anyway, so she comes and she brings these cookies, and, I'm looking at them. I'm going, "Oh, that kind of looks like a sugar cookie. I like a good sugar cookie." Anybody with me got like a good sugar cookie? Oh, yeah. Come on now. I'm preaching real good up here. I'm doing better than your amen. So I grabbed a hold of that cookie. I'm like, "Well, that's kind of a heavy cookie there." Took my first bite. I don't know if she put any sugar in it, but if she did, she didn't put enough in it. So I'm like, get the first piece off, and she's staring right at me. "You go, that's a good cookie, isn't it?" I'm going, "Oh, that's a cookie." Fortunately, I had a cup of coffee. So I just kind of dunked that puppy down in there, and you had to wait a little while because it'd soak up a lot of coffee. And then it was really a good cookie. See, that's what happens when love starts soaking on the inside of you. I don't care how tough the situation is, it's going to turn it around because God's love is just like that. In fact, 1 John 4 says, God is love. It's not something that he has. It's who he is. It makes up the greatest part of his character. He's love. And this love can't be captured. It can't be contained. But it's got to find a way to be expressed. Just like what we see in John 3:16. God so loved this dirty, rotten world. And remember, this is the God who created it. This is the God who could say, "It's done. We'll start from scratch." Who's going to tell him no? Get another Adam, get another Eve, put it all back together again. This is like hitting the reset button and go do over, but he didn't. And the only reason why he didn't is because his love was upon us. He'd have to get rid of that love, and he can't do that because that's who he is. So here all of this is taking place, and God loved us all so much, he had to give this love away. And here's the thing. The Bible says the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So not just love, like I love pizza, I love my dog, I love my truck, love my wife. No, this is the God kind of love. Yeah, the agape, that's what the Greek calls it. They got a bunch of different words for love that's in there. Like phileo, like where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, which, yeah, you better not be hanging out in the dark side of Philadelphia. You'll find out it ain't no love in that town at all. But it's a God kind of love. The kind of love that God has. Only God has it. But now, after you get born again, that love comes to live on the inside of you. And you got to do something with it. Because like I said, this love that God had for the world had to be expressed. And it's the same thing when it's on the inside of us. If we don't let it out, man, it just gets quieter and quieter and diminishes. And it just sits on it. The greatest power in the universe is on the inside of you. Did you know that? And it's called love. Faith won't work without it. Faith will move mountains, but it can't do without love. But you got to take this love and do something with it. Do something with it. Are you with me? Doing something with it. Because the minute you start doing something with that love, I mean, a joy starts jumping up on the inside of you. How many of you have been sad before? How many of you have been happy before? How many of you would you say happy is better? Well, that's all about the joy on the inside of you. And the cool thing about joy is it doesn't need to have happy things happening for it to be happy. It's got its own power supply. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on everybody else's attitude. I learned long ago that, you know, if I just stayed full of God's love, if I just kept stirring it up on the inside of me, then when people just start saying all kinds of ugly stuff about me, I just sit there and grin at them. I wasn't being sarcastic. I just knew that, hey, this is going to be an opportunity to prove once again that God's word works. Because his love, just like that cookie, man, I'm telling you what, his love will make everything go down so easy. And that's the love that's on the inside of you already. And we want to talk about this today because, I mean, the world needs it. And we're the only ones that have it. So what are you going to do about it? Well, you better stir it up. Every single rotten soul that's ever lived, no matter how deep their sin is, God's love is pointed at them. And there's times where he'll just direct your step. He'll lead you to the orneriest person that you can find. Somebody you don't want to be near for any reason whatsoever, but there's just something on the inside of you going, go to that person, go on. Have you heard that? How many of you have ever worked with somebody who was just a royal pain in the butt? Yeah, we all have. Well, how come we stayed away from them? Well, because you didn't know that love on the inside of you was that powerful. Oh, it is. It is. I remember when I worked down in Tulsa, I went down there getting ready to start the ministry school I was going to go to, and we got down there in early July, and I got a job right away and working for this electrical contractor, and they had this one guy there by the name of David. And David was one ornery dude. Now, David went to church every Sunday. Went to a full gospel church every Sunday. But Monday morning when you came into work, he was the meanest hound dog you ever met. He growled about everything. Nobody wanted to work with this dude because he was belittling. He just kind of needed to meet the trademark of a Louisville slugger up close and personal. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so for whatever reason, I know why. It's just God's way of, you know, God's got a sense of humor. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got a sense of humor. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Hey, don't be soaking up all that love down here. You better save some for me. My great-grandson's in town right here. Little Samuel, yeah. But anyway, so God ends up, because we had so many different guys that were working, you know, together, that he, you know, my boss kept pairing me up with David. And he was tough, man. We'd get on a job site, and he would immediately think that it was his gift to mankind to irritate everybody that was there. There was plumbers there, drywall people there, you name it, in a construction place. He'd get on their nerves and just drive them crazy, make them all mad. And then sit back, you know, with a chaw of tobacco in his cheek, you know, this Christian man, you know, just start talking bad about everybody that wasn't just like him, you know. And after a while, it just got embarrassing to be around this guy. And, you know, I'm going, God, what am I going to do about this guy? Because he was irritating me more than anybody else, you know. And God spoke this to my heart. He says, what makes you think school starts in September? Ooh. I did not want to. I tell you what, that didn't come from my head. That thought came straight from heaven, and it struck me like a thunderbolt. I'm going, because I knew I'm trapped now, you know. But I also knew that God had set up a way for me to get through to David, who definitely needed to have something get through to him, because that's not the way Christians are supposed to be. I mean, you leave a bad taste in people's mouths. You know, there's so many people that won't go anywhere near a church because they've met a Christian or somebody who called themselves a Christian. So I just started praying, buddy. I started praying like I never prayed before, and I was just believing. I started speaking life over him. I hadn't even gone to Bible school yet, so I didn't know all the things I was going to find out. And it just started bubbling up on the inside of me, this joy and this love for David and all of this stuff, you know. And the craziest thing was, is this happened all in a moment. Because I'm out in the van getting the tools to bring back into the, we're working on an air conditioning unit, hooking it up in this big old double wide house trailer in Tulsa. And man, he just got on my last nerve. It was like, you know, went back out in the van. God lays this on my heart. What makes you think school starts in September? I went back in and it was like, who is this man? Because all of a sudden, Dave has never had a nice word to say to anybody at any time for anything. And I walked back in the door, and it was like we were high school buddies. It was freaky, man. But it was the power of love jumping all over him. In the few minutes that I was out back in the van getting another drill bit out, after he cursed me out up one side and down the other, and I came back in, and God had moved in that man's heart. So now, I got to tell you this. He wasn't nice to anybody else, but he was at least nice to me, which was a huge improvement. So I continue to pray for him and different things like that. But I want you to know that today the Christmas spirit is the most powerful thing that you have as a Christian. And all you got to do is stir it up and start serving it out just a little bit at a time. It is so powerful. It can change the place that you work at. It can change your home. It can change everybody that you run into. I mean, you even start getting along with Walmartians. My goodness. Because that love on the inside of you has got to have something to say. It's got to have something to do. Go over here to Galatians chapter 4. Every bit of Christmas points to this one thing. Love. In Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." That love relationship is so powerful, you just start calling God Daddy. That's what Abba means. That Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father. "Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus." Luke chapter 2, the angels come in and they start speaking to the shepherds of great joy. Great joy had come. Because born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, that's Christ the Lord. And you'll know Him. This is the sign. You'll see Him as a baby in a manger. So that's when they got there. That's all they saw. Mary and Joseph. And oh my gosh, the angel choir's going on. And they were blown away because love had come to the earth. And it came to stay. And that love has to be expressed. So it was put on the inside of you. And if you'll just start doing something with it, your life will be radically different. Radically different. See, it can't flow out of you until it fills you up. And it doesn't fill you up until you start talking about it. You know, that's the easiest thing about love. You just start talking about it. I start talking about how much I love my wife, you know, and it doesn't take, but I mean, just a matter of a few seconds. And that love is all renewed again. I tell people, you know, my wife and I, we've been on our honeymoon for 45 years. And they go, "Aw, you know, isn't that sweet?" And on the inside, they're going, "No, you're not." My wife and I are two totally opposite, different kind of people. But the more I talk about the love that I have for her, the fresher it gets, and it's brand new, and it swells back up again, and it just takes a matter of seconds. How much more when we're talking about the love of God, who loved the whole ding-dong world. The world is falling apart. He says the only thing that's holding him back is he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The people that want nothing to do with him are the people that he loves so very much. Think about it. Over 2,000 years ago, the love of God sent his Son to reveal to us God's true nature, because up to that point, they figured God was just this old white-haired dude with a big old fly swatter. "You do it again, I'm going to get you, Carlos." No, Jesus revealed a totally different kind. Because people use that in religion to control people with fear and dominion and hell. Wait a minute. That love draws us close. No more religion. God didn't offer us religion through Jesus Christ. Religion is a human construct, where man is trying to build his stairway to heaven. But no, what he did is he brought Jesus in, and he did it so that we could have an unfettered relationship based on love with God. And as much as it is in its wonderful expression vertical, it can't help but be expressed horizontally, just like the cross behind me. I think that's such a perfect symbol of God's love, straight up and down and side to side. This love is so compelling and completely transforms us from being a rebel to being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I went away from God. I ran away from Him for 10 years, but that love never let go. Isn't that amazing? That God would love us through it all. Saved my life, I don't know how many different times. I mean, I was an electrician. I worked with bug zapper voltage, you know. You mess up, well, they ain't much to clean up. There ain't nothing to bury. Maybe the soles of your shoes. But you see, God was right there again and again and again and again. Even when I didn't want nothing to do with Him. Even when I only thought of His name as a cuss word, see? See, this love is so powerful that it gives far more than it ever asks from us. It's bubbling up on the inside. And it just keeps bubbling. Like Jesus said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the love of God that's coming through the Holy Ghost. This love is so unconditional. Totally unconditional in a fickle and demanding world. See, I think that's the hardest part for us as Christians. Because in order to understand, you know why Jesus taught in parables so much? He took a parallel understanding of something in the natural that the people already understood. Kind of like farming, the words like a seed that goes in the ground, 30, 60, and 100-fold. People go, oh, okay. Problem with love is that you got nothing to compare it to in the natural. Not this kind of love. I mean, you can see natural human love, and it can do a lot of different things, but you start looking at God's love like that, you're saying, whoa, wait a minute. If I mess up enough times, I'm going to lose it. But God's love's not like that. God's love will pursue you right down to the time where you take your last breath. I saw this so many times when I was a chaplain for hospice, right at the bedside of a dying person. And God would get a hold of them. They wanted nothing to do with God. They're within minutes of death, and they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you can't do that out of fear. You do that because you're just responding to the love that just keeps knocking on the door of your heart. That love does never give up. It never lets go of you. It's going to be there forever. And all you got to do is respond to it. It's unconditional. It's not based on your performance. And everything else that you come in contact with in this world is based on performance. Let's face it. It's like I tell people, especially the guys in premarital counseling, if you want to continue to act like you're single after you get married, you know what? It won't be very long and you'll get to be single again. Because your wife's only going to put up with so much of that. There's a limit with us, but there's no limit with God. And when we get addicted to that love, being filling us up and expressing it out of us, I'm telling you, you become so powerful. You become so confident and steadfast. Your hope is limitless, no matter what's going on around you. That faith, hope, and love all work together, and that love's going to tell you, it's going to be all right. The best is yet to come, but I'm hurting and I don't know it. That's all right. And before you know it, you're standing on your feet declaring how great your God is. When the spirit of Mother Hubbard's coming over your cupboard. When you can't afford to even pay attention, let alone pay your bills, you know? Reach in your pocket, all you got's an old wrapper from a Hall's cough drop, you know? Yeah, that's all I got. But I got God, so I know I got enough. More than enough. Because God's not finished. Think about it. When was the last time you were touched with this love? And we get blown away with all this kind of stuff that's coming in and out of our lives, you know. And sometimes it's easy just to forget what God's done for you. How many times has God bailed you out? How many times has God shown you a way where there was no way? How many times has God brought you through the impossible? See, if we'll just keep remembering that, if we'll just keep speaking about that, it is so easy to let this love just take over everything that's trying to tell you no. Because love's telling you there's a better way. Think about it. We got to pursue this love because it's up to us. His love isn't shut off. You just got to decide how much of it you want, and you get to decide. That don't make any sense at all, does it? If love's going to transform the world and love comes from God and God says it's yours now, do what you want with it, that just kind of, wow. It messes up the whole works. But if we do, then it's a free expression of our will and our love for God. And that love starts bubbling up on the inside of you. Oh, my gosh. I like what the Bible says in Psalms 37. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Can you do that? Sometimes it takes faith. Sometimes it has to come through tears. All your emotions are saying, we don't feel this way at all. But you know what? I'm not going by how I feel. I'm going by what the Word of God says. And God will override your feelings. Next thing you know, your feelings are going, hey, this feels pretty good. I think I'm getting happy. So what? Your feelings are kind of fickle. Don't go there, though, you know? But if you're pursuing it, it means you got to surrender to it. And it's just like your car. You know, I don't know. Everybody drove a car to get here, probably. I don't know if anybody walked. But you know, the funny thing about a car is that you got to fill it up. I don't care if it's $4 a gallon, you got to fill it up, or you're walking. So every now and then, I don't care how busy you are. Now, my wife, I love her to pieces, 45 years still on our honeymoon. Be 46 come Groundhog Day. That's the secret to having a good marriage, getting married on Groundhog Day. Well, anyway, she likes to drive her car until it's on fumes. This little Honda that we got, it gets like 38 miles a gallon, but I don't care how good a gas mileage you're going to get. You got to fill that sucker up every now and then. You know, and so I'll get in the car and I'll start it up and I'm going, ah, because the first thing I do, I'm 45 years, I know the first thing I better do when I get in her car is look at the gas gauge. Because there'll be just one little pill there. They got little these little dimple lights that come on in a bar, you know. She'll be down to one pill. I mean, I'm hoping I can get out of the driveway. But I'll go fill it up. I mean, she does so much for me. Filling up her gas tank is just a joy. It's all right. No problem. And then every now and then I'll drive and I'll find out this thing is falling apart, so I got to fix the front end or this or that. She don't tell me. You know, I'm always driving my pickup truck. But you know what? Just like a car, you got to fill yourself back up again because you run empty. You know that? We got to get filled over and over and over again. We see that in the book of Acts with the disciples over and over and over again. God had to fill them back up again because they leak. We consume this. You got to dive into his love letters, man. I'm telling you what, start in the New Testament. Just stay in the New Testament for a long time. People say, well, if I'm going to read the Bible, I'll start with Genesis 1. You know what? God did a better covenant based on better promises through Jesus. The Bible tells us that the old covenant, the Old Testament, has been replaced. It's been fulfilled. We're living in the New Testament. Read that. And it'll build you up. Oh, it'll remind you how much God loves you. It'll give you the keys to the kingdom, man. And it'll always come back right around where your love and your joy is. That's what you need to stay full with. Amen. You got to declare it. You're not only reading it, but you got to declare it. Oh, Lord, I just thank you that you love me so, so, so very much. And I'll just thank you for what I'm reading in a particular scripture. Oh, it changes everything. It takes a bad day and turns it into a great day. It takes looking at something that you cannot possibly overcome, and the enemy's saying, that's just the start of it. I'm going to bring more. And you get filled up with God's Word. You start declaring it. You start laughing over the whole thing. I mean, if you can just get happy being with Jesus for a little while each day, you'll never be on the bottom looking up. You'll never be at a lack. See, it's important. Christmas shouts out, I love you to the whole doggone world. And yet we've surrendered it over to the magic sound of the cash register. Buying everything that everybody wants and everybody needs and all this other kind of stuff. And ho, ho, ho. And we cry about how Christmas has lost its meaning. We're the carriers of the meaning. So don't get caught in the trap. It's good to buy presents. I'm terrible about this. My wife, after we've been married 25 years, she says, I got you half trained. I'm not sure which half, but I got you half trained. I said, what do you mean you're not sure? She says, it changes every day. It's come around Christmas time. Of course, everything comes on sale. A couple years ago, they had one of these roll-around big old honking toolboxes with the hardwood table on the top of it and all that. You know, a nice low-boy box about so high. And the year before, they'd come down to $200. I mean, they were like $400. Now they're down to $200, only for the couple weeks before Christmas. So I'm looking at that thing, you know, and sure enough, the time went by, and I didn't get one. So the next year, I got me one. My wife goes, you know, Christmas is coming. You know, when your wife looks at you with that certain look on her face, it's like, boy, you better pay attention. I do it all the time. You know, this is great. I love it. It's wonderful. I think I'll just get that for me, you know. And then I have to explain to my wife why I went out and spent $200 on a toolbox, you know. But you see, it's there. God invested, God the Father invested all of his love into Jesus and then sent him to the earth. And then after Jesus arose from the dead and we get born again, now he's turned around and he's invested that love in us. In us. It's invested on the inside of us. See, every time you draw near to God, this happens. He'll fill you up. It'll flood who you are, and it'll leak out everywhere you go. And it changes the people around you. Did you know that you're like a Holy Ghost hand grenade filled with love, walking out into the world, waiting to go off in a good way? You can transform a person's having the worst day of their life by just sharing the love of God with them. I'm not talking about getting preachy. I'm just talking about, how about being nice to them? How about when you get done and, you know, the person goes, oh, have a happy holiday. And I go, oh, Merry Christmas. I don't give them, don't you give me that happy holiday stuff. Like Yosemite Sam, you know. Don't you say that. No. I look at him with the biggest love in my heart and I go, oh, Merry Christmas. And then I'll go on and I'll say, do you have any idea how much God loves you today? And then I'll pick up my bags and I'll go. And that person's sitting there going, because they get beat up too, Christians. I know, Pam, you work out there at Walmart as a cashier. You see all kinds of strange critters come through the line. Some human, some semi-human, some you're not sure which planet they're from. But when you leave somebody with something like that, because you're so filled up with it, you got to let it out. What happened to that person that you just said that to? I mean, there's a new phenomenon they're talking about all the time, how people that are working retail, they get the brunt of everybody's unhappiness. And they'll trash you for no reason. They don't even know your name. But they're mad and it's your fault. But you come through there as a Christian, oh, Merry Christmas. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? Now, that's not being preachy, is it? But can you see the difference, how that will invade that person's heart and mind? And they'll begin to think, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. So then the next 20 clowns that come through, they try to drag them back down. They got something to hang on to, you know? Think about it. Think of this Christmas as the greatest opportunity that you'll ever have to spread the gospel. Oh, it's simple. It's the easiest thing. You got love? You got joy? If you don't have some, come here, we'll fill you up, because we ain't right in the head. I say that because the world thinks a rational thinker doesn't get too happy about anything because, you know, something bad's going to happen. Well, bad things happen, so what? God's bigger than every bad thing that's ever happened to me in my life. One thing I know, good things are coming my way. Amen. So you know what? I got to make room for good things by giving away what I got. We're getting that way in the church. I don't know if you've ever been up in the attic up above the lobby there in the nursery. Man, it is insane up there. We got so much stuff. It's like, I'm killing me. Every time I go up there to get something, I got to dance or I got to walk like this, you know. And I can't carry it out. I got to hand it to somebody else because there's so much stuff between me. I didn't even aisleway big enough to carry something down with. After a while, you got to start getting rid of it, don't you? Now, like most pack rats, we're going, you know what? 5 minutes after I give it away, I'm going to need that. Well, guess what? God's in the need meeting business, you know? So don't worry about it. If all you're going to do is hang on to all you got, well, that's all you're going to get. And God's got something 100 times better, but you got no room for it. So, see, I got to let this love out. I got to let this joy kind of mess with some people, you know? Joy will do that. You know, one of the coolest people to talk to this Christmas season, it was somebody's out there ringing the Salvation Army ring bell. Stop and talk to those people. I mean, they got to have something going on. They're standing out there in the cold going, ding, 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 ding. How many hours can you do that without having a psychotic episode? I went to this one guy last year, and he's out there. He's singing Christmas carols. Man, he's not just singing them. He is singing them, you know. And he's ringing a bell. He's just singing a song. You know, I don't know if he's trying to keep his feet from getting frostbite or what. I don't know, but, buddy, I'll tell you what, he made my day. So I stopped and talked to him for a little bit. You ought to be able to be free enough to do that. Just talk to somebody a little bit. Those guys right there, I mean, if you want to, that's the easiest person to talk to right there. Because they're there trying to make a difference. They're there because God wants them to be there. And you go talk to them, man, I'll tell you what, it'll get over on the inside of you. See, you got to have this love. This love has to be mobile. It can't be static. It can't stay in one place. Galatians 5 tells us this, you know, that it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It's everything is wrapped up in faith that works by love. Faith that works by love. If you've been playing around in the love of Jesus, you know what? That's what's all over you. I remember as a little kid, you know, I'm a boy. I got a guy brain. How many? Well, Malachi. Was he born with a guy brain? Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy. Ain't nothing like a two-year-old with that whole testosterone thing happening. They are so radically different. Two-year-old little girls, they are the coolest thing on the planet. Two-year-old little boys is hang on and do not lose sight of that child. So here I am. I'm just a little boy, you know. And there were times where I'd go out and I'd have fun. Don't matter if I was playing in the mud and everything else, you know. Didn't make any difference whether I was out at my grandpa's farm and I've been playing in the manure. There are times I'd come up to the house, you know, and open the door and he's either my mom or my grandma go, stop, you know, because I'm like, well, I like Pigpen and Charlie Brown, you know. All the stuff coming out of here and there and everywhere else, you know. Because they didn't want that in the house. Well, just a little dude, they go, stop right there. You're stripping everything off of you right down to your birthday suit. And then I'm going to carry you into the bathroom where you're going to take a shower. You ain't bringing them clothes, them shoes, and everything else in this house. See, whatever you've been wallowing in is what comes off. If you're wallowing in the world, nobody wants that. But if you've been wallowing in the things of God, you've been hanging out with Jesus, oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, it's right there. Every good thing you will ever get with God begins with love. That love connection is everything, and you got to pursue it. Man, the rewards are outstanding, and it's right there for you. This is not something you got to work on for a couple of months. All you got to do is scratch the surface, and that love and that joy starts bubbling back out again. And the more you get into that, you know what? You can be a love junkie. Did you know that? You can get so intoxicated with joy that you just want more. And it's the most beautiful way to live your life. I'm telling you, God is right there. Psalms 91. Let me share you this. Psalms 91. Oh, I love it. It says here, because he has set his love upon me. Verse 14. It says, because, God's saying this to us. He said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he's known my name, he shall call on me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him. I will honor him. And with long life will I show him my salvation. Wow. Isn't that cool? I love it. That's right at the end of Psalms 91. How come some people get that and some people don't? Well, back up here to verse 1. Psalms 91:1. Rob's got it back here. He'll pop it. It says, because he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord. Oh, I will say of the Lord. He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Now, if I'm hanging out with God, if I'm just saying what he says to myself, that's why when I read my Bible anymore, I read it out loud. Because I get it coming in my eyeballs, rattles around up here in my BB brain, comes out in my mouth, and then it comes right back around into my ears again. That's why you start getting happy. If you hang out with God, you just spend a little time with him, take a time out in the morning, maybe if you're not a morning person, in the evening, shut the boob tube off, and just get quiet with God. Read a little bit of his love letter, tell him what's going on, and then just start thanking him for everything he's brought into your life. Before you know it, all the good stuff is going to outweigh all the bad stuff, and you'll have a grin on your face nothing can wipe off. And not only that, but people around you are going, what are you grinning about? Because they ain't grinned in months. And you go, oh, God loves us so much. Oh, you're one of them. I've heard it all. I'm naturally a positive person. When people say that, you're nuts. I'm going, well, if I'm nuts, I'm screwed to the right bolt. What do you think of that? I get them thinking a little bit. Next thing you know, they start grinning a little bit too because it's like, oh, one of them. Next thing you know, they're saying, they may not tell you right off the jump, but they'll say, you know what, I want some of that in my life. Before you know it, they start coming around. The world is a very dark and negative, brutal, ugly, angry place. But when you got the love and the joy of God bubbling up on the inside of you, there ain't nothing can stand in its way. There's nothing that can stop you. Think about it. Just take that invite card home with you this week. Today, when you leave. And let God use you somehow, some way. He does it in such a cool way. You don't even realize you're doing it. And God just makes it look so simple. You know the Holy Spirit make you look like a genius? Oh, He will. But you got to stir yourself up. You got to get into this point where you just blow a little on the coals of joy in the inside of you. Oh, they're still there. You may not have been happy in a long, long time, but before you know it, that fire is just going to take off. It'll just take off every single time because God's right there helping it along. You got to, maybe it's just singing a Christmas song, humming it along. Maybe that helps you. Helps me, especially when I get one of them shopping carts that's got a wobbly wheel. Yeah. Or the one that's kind of flat on one side and you're going along, bam, 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 bam. Joy to the world. It stirs you up. This is not hard. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It's a decision that you make that God will honor if you'll just make it. Usually I just turn right back around. I'll take that stupid shopping cart back and put it in the little deal there and grab one that's got round wheels because I need smooth life. No, I'm going to take the choppy stuff. I'll take the ones that don't work worth a darn. And just laugh myself all the way through the store. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me more than enough to overcome everything that's trying to mess with my joy. Everything that says I can't, Lord, you come along and say, yeah, you can, because I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because I'm delighting myself in the Lord. That's just a decision. It's just a decision. And when you do, oh, my gosh, just a little stir and it'll make it all bubble up real good, you know? Think about it. The only way we're going to take back the true meaning of Christmas is what I've been saying right here. It's the only way. Because everything about Christmas that makes Christmas Christmas, it's supernatural. And the only people that are walking around on the earth with the supernatural is you. And love and joy will change the world around you. Make your life so sweet. You get up every morning expecting, oh, God, what are you going to do this time? I know something's going to happen today, Lord. Somehow, Lord, use me to touch a life, to make a difference. Lord, your love and your joy, that's all it's going to take. And I've already got that. It's already been given to me. I don't have to do anything with it other than just enjoy it and give it away. That's the love of God that we've got. That's the Savior that you're trusting. Now, I know it sounds all simplistic, but if you just try it. Back when I was a kid, it was a double dog dare you. Of course, you couldn't go triple dog because that's the nuclear option, but double dog daring somebody. I mean, that meant you had to do it. And if you will, I'm telling you, you'll never go back to the old way of life where you're just kind of coasting along, doing the best you can with what you got, because what you got on the inside of you is so much greater than everything that's around you, trying to rip you off. You know, we had a water leak here at the church. Main line coming in, had replaced it a couple of years ago. Now I got a leak. I got a big old sinkhole out there. Didn't let it get to me. Not worried about it. Told you a couple of weeks ago that my car, we took it in to get it worked on, my wife's car, the little Honda that always just barely stays full of gas. Found out it's got a cracked block. And then I found out, yeah, it's got a cracked block, and a whole lot of them had a cracked block, so Honda gave them a 10-year extended warranty. Mine's 11 and a half years old. Well, there you go. But you know what? Didn't bother me a bit. I said, Lord, this is not going to steal my joy. I know that you got away. So as I was checking some things out, I found out that's something you can fix. You want to know how it's going to get fixed? I'll find out there's a guy in town, pull that motor, put it back in, knows what he's doing, $500.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. Well, that's not even one car payment for most people. Pull it out. And then I got a friend who's got a machine shop and fixes all kinds of crazy things. He's just going to weld it up for me. Why was I worried? Well, I wasn't. See, God's got all kinds of stuff. But if you get in a nervous snit about stuff, I mean, you get tunnel vision on that problem until that's all you think about and all you talk about is that problem. And God's got all these solutions out here. And because you're not walking, you're not enjoying the love of God, and you're really getting joyed up about it, you'll miss it every time. Every time. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let God be God. I'm going to stay full of joy. That's my part. And keep my radar on all the time. Okay, God, you're going to do something here, but just let me know. Sure enough, 2 phone calls, boom, I'm done. Car goes in Monday. By the end of the week, I'll have it back. Bulletproof for another 150,000 miles. How do you like that? For a car that's already paid for, I think that's pretty cool. That's just one thing. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the enemy has somehow or another brought into your life that just seems like it won't go away. That love and that joy will do it. Please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm fixing to turn you loose. But I got to ask you, because God didn't give me this message just to let you go, yeah, that was pretty good, and then leave. Maybe you've been wrestling with something. Ain't nobody looking. Maybe there's just something that's been bugging you and tearing you up, and you can't seem to find your joy. If you get it, it only lasts for a few seconds, and then something else hammers you. You're just dealing with the pressure of life, and you want to be free from it. You want to enjoy everything that God has prepared for you. And if that's you, just slip your hand up in the air. I want to pray for you. There's one. Come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. And you need a touch from heaven this morning. Or slip your hand up in the air. You need some things to change in your life. You need the clouds to move away. You need some hope. Maybe you're dealing with a chronic illness. I don't know. There's another hand. Come on. There's 2 more hands. Yeah. Another hand. Come on. God's love is so incredible. All he has to do is have your permission. Anybody else? God, I'm going to give you permission right now as I raise my hand to bring the solution into my life that's going to set me free. I don't want to carry this junk anymore. It's messed with my life. It's made me miserable for far too long. Here's another hand. This is so cool. All right, you can put your hands down. Open your eyes. If you leave them closed long enough, you go to sleep. At least I do. Come on, let's stand. The power and the presence of God's in this place right now. And right now, he wants to touch you with his goodness and his mercy. He wants you to start delighting yourself in him. So, Father God, I just thank you right now that you're the healer. You not only heal our broken bodies, but, Lord, you heal our broken heart. You put souls back together, our will, our emotions, our intellect, all that kind of stuff that seems to get messed with more than anything else, Lord. You bring hope back because you are love. And your joy is full of glory. Your joy is unexpressible. It is so great we can't put words to describe it. But Lord, today I just pray that every hand that was raised, Lord, that they would taste and see how good you are. Lord, that you would cause them to get stirred up just a little bit when they get home or even on the way home. And declaring how good you are, thanking you, God, that you're going to do the impossible. What the doctors say can't be fixed, you're going to fix it. Stuff that we don't understand, Lord, we just lay it on the altar at your feet and saying, God, I'm giving you this problem. And I'm trading it in for your joy and a big old helping of your love, Lord. Because I need you, Lord, and I know you love me. And I know, Lord, all you're doing is asking permission right now. So we cast our cares on you, and we pick up that love and that joy, and we're going to use it to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Stir yourself up. mess with some people just a little bit. Let them know that there's something a whole lot better than what they think there is in this world. And ask them, do you have any idea how much God loves you? And watch what happens. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. God is good. And he's taken a liking to you, right? So go enjoy your life and make Christmas special this year. Amen? Amen. We'll see you.
I hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church at 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.